Every day, I back out of this driveway at my new house and head over to Pete's, which is a couple of towns away. Yes, I love my Pete's coffee that much. Not half as much as I love sponsors like GoDaddy. And, you know, and the next time you go to register a domain name, you can use the coupon code CHRIS1 and you can get 10% off your next order. That's just on new domains, by the way. Although there are a couple of other coupons, CHRIS2 and CHRIS3, if you're doing other purchases on GoDaddy.com. Anyway, I'm off to get my coffee, and so this morning I thought I would bring the recording device with me as kind of an experiment. Oh, that was my navigation system that just beeped in the background if you didn't hear it. So I'm going to drive to Pete's, and while I'm driving, I'm going to be speaking into a microphone. I thought I'd give everybody my thoughts on the launch of Windows Vista, and after I've been using Windows Vista from probably beta 2 forward, at least in some capacity. And however long it takes me to get to Pete's, I'll have to continue talking. So we're going to see how long it takes. I haven't actually timed this trip, and to tell you the truth, I'm afraid of finding out just how long it takes for me to get my cup of coffee. And by the way, why don't I make it at home? Yes, I've got all the equipment, and Ponzi seems to collect new coffee makers like you're going out of style. In fact, she just picked up that Tassimo, which I think is a complete waste of money. I mean, here we have a proprietary beverage maker. Who would have thunk it? The Tassimo. It's like you can buy these prefab containers of, liquids or to-be liquids like coffee or milk. And with them, you could create coffee by sticking them into the machine, pressing the button. It creates it automatically or easily for people, and apparently making coffee is just too much of an inconvenience. So she bought one of those, and it doesn't taste good. All the coffee flavors that they've partnered with, like Maxwell House. Ooh, I think not. So every day, I drive in to get my Pete's coffee, because the way they brew it at the actual store is different than you can make it at home. I don't know why. It just always is. So the closest one to my house always seems to be about a half hour away, but like I said, today we're going to find out just how far away it is. And instead of just talking about my coffee and the GoDaddy sponsors, I thought I'd regale you with my thoughts of Windows Vista. So my review, I think overall, 50-50. It's both good and bad. If your machine runs fine right now, I say don't run out and buy the upgrade. There's no need. And plus, you know, it's if there is a Vista edition to get, it's probably going to be, for most power users, the ultimate edition. And unfortunately, that kind of comes at an ultimate price. I've put it on a couple of machines now, three or four. One machine was an IBM ThinkPad that's been my laptop for a couple years now. It's a sufficient 2 gigahertz processor. It's got about 1 gig of RAM, and the video card is an ATI, 128 megabytes of video RAM, so it's dedicated that I know of. And I've put most of the best betas on that machine. And God, I realize I cannot speak before I've had my cup of coffee, so please bear with me. And if you're drinking your coffee now, or if you're driving in your car now, well, then it's like I'm with you. And if you're drinking coffee, then you're already ahead of the game. So I put it on the ThinkPad, and it's been pretty fine on there. I mean, it doesn't run as fast as XP on that machine, but it certainly works. I didn't have any driver contentions, surprisingly enough, with that laptop. It was, despite what they didn't say on the ThinkPad website, the ThinkPad T41P is compatible with Windows Vista. I've been using it for, like I said, for quite a while, testing Vista on that machine in particular, because the laptop to me is, you know, if I need to reinstall Windows, I can. It's easy enough. Plus, it's portable. I can take it with me wherever I go. It was a good laptop purchase, apparently. I've always believed that ThinkPads have been great machines, and now that Lenovo's taking them over, hopefully that'll ring true moving forward, and all future ThinkPads should, or I believe do, have a Windows key, finally, even though mine does not, and I'm very saddened by that. Even remapping the key, there's only one place for the Windows key, and that's on the left side of the keyboard in between Control and Alt. Between? I think that's, oh, God, this is going to be fun. Because I'm telling you, I got about at least another half hour getting there. Yeah, I drive that far to get my coffee. So I've been playing with Vista for a while, and of course that's where a lot of my feedback came from in using Windows Vista on that laptop. The feedback about all the UI inconsistencies and other issues I found in just performing rudimentary tasks in Windows Vista. If you've been used to XP, and let's face it, if you've been using a computer at home for at least the last 3 years, then you're used to XP. A lot of the features and functionality are still there, possibly moved around. So it was confusing at first, but you know, it's Vista's like second hat now. It's not that bad in terms of the difference between Windows XP and Windows Vista compared to, let's say, Windows 3.1 and Windows 95. And that was an upgrade that I, as well as the rest of the industry, pretty much recommended. I also recommended the upgrade from 95 to 98. I did not recommend the upgrade from 98 SE to Millennium Edition. I don't think anybody did. And if they did, they should have their license revoked. But I did also recommend the move from 98 SE to Windows 2000 Service Pack 3, I believe. And I started playing on Windows 2000 after I tried installing Windows Millennium Edition clean from a machine that was used to running Windows 98 SE, and that wasn't happening. When I went to Windows 2000, some things were slower, but man, it was just stable. Stable as heck. And so I started recommending Windows 2000 at that point, and then it was pretty easy to recommend XP over 2000, largely because of the, I guess, more consumer-oriented features in XP compared to Windows 2000, which really wasn't a consumer operating system. Could have been, but weren't enough bells and whistles. In fact, I tell you the truth, I think Windows 2000, even today, is still a fantastic operating system. And if you try running Windows 2000 on a machine that you may have purchased in the past 6 months, my guess is that it'll run faster than Windows XP did, or does, or even Windows Vista. And on the same machine that I'm running Windows Vista on the desktop now, again, this is the final version, RTM Gold, I'm dual booting, or I can dual boot, or triple boot, between Windows XP, Windows Vista 32-bit, and Windows Vista 64-bit. And Windows XP on that machine seems to run just infinitely faster than Windows Vista, both 32 and 64-bit flavors. Same hardware. It's an AMD quad-core FX74. Plenty of RAM, 4 gigabytes, of course. Windows XP and Windows Vista 32 can only see 2 gigabytes. And I'm largely using Windows Vista 64-bit to do any audio or video editing, just because anything beyond that, I know I'm going to be running into software contentions. In fact, with Windows Vista 32-bit on this desktop, I have had a few conflicts, and you know, when you add another layer of complexity to any kind of situation, hardware or software, then you could be exacerbating problems that exist. On this machine, Vista recognized most hardware. It didn't recognize a hard drive controller, the eSATA port for an external SATA drive, when I got the Gold edition. And then in the past few weeks, there was a Windows update that was issued, and it said, "Hey, there's an update available for this, you know, unrecognized hard drive controller." So I installed it, and then it finally recognized it, and I was kind of blown away. I was like, wow, that's really kind of nice. the Windows Update application is finally sewn into the operating system, as well it should be, and that driver upgrade went relatively smoothly. NVIDIA is what I've got for a video system. It's also an Enforce motherboard. ASUS manufactures a motherboard, but it's, I guess, the Enforce chipset. And NVIDIA is just horrible with drivers. And you know what? It never used to be that case, and it was ATI that was horrible with drivers. But I can tell you, man, ATI and NVIDIA, I think ATI's got it all over NVIDIA in terms of stability, in terms of updates, in terms of consistency. I'm just blown away at how NVIDIA's kind of dropped the ball. They've been very slow at releasing drivers for Windows Vista, and even now, I'm experiencing a lot of flakiness on the desktop. Sometimes I'll have to restart the Windows Explorer, and I have nothing else to attribute it to other than the video card, because a lot of the issues that are related to it are video issues. The icons on the desktop will disappear, or everything on the screen will be shifted. Visually, it'll be shifted to the left somehow. Even though I could click where the start button should be, and the start menu where it should be will open. So it's like the mouse cursor is in the right place, and it's functioning as if it's there, but visually on the screen, everything's shifted over. I don't have any other way of explaining it, and I have nothing else to chalk it up to other than really flaky video drivers. Now, at the time I'm talking about it, NVIDIA is prepping a new update for the chipset and, I believe, video drivers. I think these are GTX 7900s. Of course, SLI still isn't enabled, even though I don't use it all that much, especially on the desktop. But I can tell you, I'm really missing ATI right now. If I had to make a video card purchase recommendation, I don't think I could recommend NVIDIA at this point. Like I said, my laptop, my ThinkPad T41P, has got an ATI video card. And ATI has been great throughout the entire Vista process. I have not experienced anything in memory. I mean, in my own memory, not necessarily system memory or video memory. I can't remember a time where I had an issue with the video on that laptop. It's always run real smooth. And the nice thing about Vista is, at least as far as the video drivers are concerned, is that the WDDM, let's see here, no, W, what is it? LDDM, I knew it was something like that. Longhorn display driver model? Oh God, I'm probably going to be wrong. Like I said, forgive me. It's been a while since I've memorized acronyms, and I haven't had my morning cup of coffee, but I believe it's Longhorn display driver model, LDDM. So it's basically, you know, Microsoft's kind of come down on the video card manufacturers, because apparently, and this is according to statistics collected through all the crashes and blue screens, a majority of the blue screens in Windows XP and earlier were caused by video driver problems. I'm not surprised in the slightest. So in updating video drivers, it'll come as a Windows update. You just press the button. You don't even have to reboot for the most part. Of course, like I said, with NVIDIA, the last couple of updates I've been very cautious about, because it just hasn't worked very well at all. Just a lot of flakiness, I think, compared to the stability that I've seen in ATI on Vista. Now, of course, in time, it'll get more stable. And I think that's the reason why I say I'm kind of giving a Vista kind of a passing grade, but saying 50-50. You know, it works, but a lot of software and hardware manufacturers, software developers, I should say, and even hardware developers, at least as far as drivers are concerned, some of them need to catch up, including Microsoft. One of the most upsetting things that I've experienced inside of Windows Vista is due to the immaturity of the LifeCam drivers. They've got these new series of webcams, and I got one that would clip onto the edge of my laptop, the LifeCam NX6000. Very sleek. I mean, the video quality is great. It's got a built-in microphone, yada, yada, yada. Works fine in XP. I cannot get this thing to work inside of Windows Vista. I've tried installing the latest drivers for it, downloaded from the website, manually installed the drivers, uninstalled, deleted, reinstalled, manually browsed again. I've said that about 3 times, I'm sure. It just doesn't work. So I've got to wait for them to, I guess, reach maturity. So like I said, I think a large part of that, I get cautiousness in recommending Vista to people, whether as an upgrade or just a, you know, buying it inside a new system, of which you probably have no choice at this point. People need to catch up. Now, some of the software developers I've emailed to let them know, hey, this doesn't work, or hey, that doesn't work, and some of them have been pretty responsive. The ones that are still in the game have been really responsive. Some of them have not, and that's kind of sad because, you know, some utilities I've really come to depend on that don't work inside of Windows Vista because they've changed a few things. It's really depressing because then I've either lost that function or I've got to find another piece of software that does it just as well, if not better. I did have an issue with, and I'm going to state this from memory, URL run add-in. It's one word. It's essentially a utility, a shell extension, that integrates with Outlook that will allow you to select a broken URL. So you've probably seen email messages come in, and the link, it seems to be broken because it's a text message and the word wrap and yada, yada, yada. Well, this shell extension, if you can call it that, or a COM add-in for Outlook, I guess the guy does, the programmer creates shell extensions, so I guess this would be a COM, an add-in. You could select the broken URL, so the hyperlink part of the URL and the non-hyperlink part. Right-click it and then select URL run, and what it'll do is it'll bring all of it together into one URL instead of you having to copy and paste manually each line that was broken. So it was a very useful, or is a very useful utility that I've been using inside of Outlook 2000, although now I'm using Outlook 2007, and I'll get to that in a second. It doesn't work in Outlook 2007, so I emailed the author this morning, and within 5 minutes, I got a response. He's like, oh, that gives me an excuse to install Outlook 2007. I'm like, awesome, because it's a great utility. So I had to upgrade to Outlook 2007. Well, had to. It's not like anybody had a gun to my head. Of course, you know me. I've been using Outlook 2000 for, well, ever since the year 2000. I started using Outlook when they released 98. 97 was just horrible. Of course, that came with Office 97. But when they released 98, as kind of an interim, it was great. I mean, it was fast, it was clean, it was efficient. And Outlook 2000, you know, built upon that. And of course, when they released Outlook XP in Office 2002, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was horrible. I mean, it was just ghastly. It ran slow. You couldn't download POP3 accounts at the same time. I mean, that's what would happen is if you have a couple of POP3 accounts, and I still do, and I did back then, it would download them simultaneously. Well, this would bring Outlook to its knees. I mean, it just like, and that's how the messages would come in. Of course, it wouldn't make that sound. I'm just, you know, doing that for, you know, oh, God, how long? Oh, God, I need my coffee. So, I've been using Outlook 2000 because I didn't like XP at all, Outlook XP. And then even 2003, built upon the suckitude of Outlook XP, fixing a few things, introducing a few new bugs and issues, despite my best efforts. There are so many things that are just not right about Outlook 2002 and Outlook 2003, and to a certain degree, Outlook 2007. Now, that being said, I installed Outlook 2000 on Windows Vista, and within 10 minutes, I knew that was it. It's dead. I tried compatibility mode. It wouldn't work. It worked. I could open things, but for some reason, and I don't know if it was just an incompatible plugin, and I wasn't running that many, other than Spambase, which I believe is an essential plugin for Outlook, although I'm not using it right now, and I'll get to that in a second. the CPU would spike to 100%. A CPU, a quad core, all four CPUs would spike to 100%. So Outlook 2000 was gone. And that was very sad because I've been using Outlook 2007 on the laptop, just testing it. And there are certain things about it that I really didn't like. And there are certain things about it that I did like. The ribbon interface is a bit confusing at first, and I'm still a bit confused about where things are. But I got to admit, it is pretty convenient, and it's clean. Unfortunately, the rest of Outlook is still, like, got its toes dipped in legacy code. So I'm still having issues with the same things I've had issues with all the way back to Outlook 2000. The views, the default view for a folder, you can change it, but it always seems to switch back to what it wants unless you do it a certain way. Like, you have to change the view, define current view in an Outlook menu somewhere in the view menu. Again, I'm doing it from memory. Change the settings to the way you like it, and I don't like grid lines, and I don't like sorting by groups, at least in most folders. And once you do that, you press apply now, you go into the folder, you go to then you switch the view to another view, and then you switch back to the view that you just changed, and then it'll apply that view throughout Outlook, at least in the folders that you hadn't already customized the views for. And I'm sure that tip looks a hell of a lot better on paper. But my point is that it's still a convoluted process inside of Outlook to get the view that you want, as far as the reading header information is concerned, or just message information in general. So I reluctantly went to Outlook 2007, and I gotta admit, it's been a pretty solid upgrade. A lot of the speed issues are gone. I had no problem using my PST inside of Outlook 2007, although I knew that I'd be reaching the 2 GB limit at some point, so I needed to change that to an OST, and there's no easy way of doing it, unfortunately. Outlook doesn't give you the opportunity to, transmogrify your classic PST file to a newer file that, you know, allows, you know, for a larger file size in general, Unicode character support. There's no way of doing it. You basically have to create a new OST, and then you import the PST into that. You import all the items into it. There's no other way of doing it, and I still don't understand why that is the way it is. But when I did that, then I noticed that, and maybe it's in conjunction with the craptacular junk mail options and filter inside of Outlook 2007, but when I'm downloading mail, it takes a bit more time to process. And I will chalk that one up to the junk mail options. Although, when I was using junk mail, it was a PST, it seemed to process faster than it does now. There's a little bit of lag now that it's an OST, and I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe I just need to re-optimize it or something. I'm not using Spambase right now. I've been told that it will work in Outlook 2007, but I'm about to, because I do not understand how the Outlook junk mail filter could be so bad. I mean, really. So, for instance, one of the options is add this sender to my trusted sender list. Well, the problem with spam these days is that it could come from, let's say, chris@lockernome.com, when in fact I didn't send it. And if you've already added me as a trusted sender, and that's spam, it's going to go in your inbox because you've got a rule set up to always trust email from chris@lockernome.com. So that rule, or that particular feature, is just dumb. I mean, it should never have shipped. It's just stupid. I'm ready to flip back to Spambase open source. The biggest problem I have with Spambase at this point, I mean, it's easy to configure. It really does nail a lot of junk, very few false positives. I can train it really easily. The problem is it doesn't have a whitelist, and that can be annoying. And I have it on good authority that they're never going to add a whitelist to it. But it's open source. They haven't done much development with it in this time. But, you know, maybe it's time I shop for a more efficient Outlook spam plugin filter thing. If you can hear my turn signal, and that's because I'm at the stoplight where I can turn in to get my coffee. And so I think I'm going to have to set the microphone down and continue my thoughts on Windows Vista now that I've kind of given you my Outlook upgrade path. I'm like I said, I'm using Outlook 2007 now, and for the most part, it's been an okay experience. The UI issues still bug me. There's a lot of legacy interface interwoven with new interface, and they really need to work on that. But it seems like a lot of the plumbing that they broke with Outlook 2002 and 2003 has been fixed, most of it. The RSS feed functionality inside of Outlook 2007 is beyond useless. I've seen Firefox plugins coded in a weekend that are far more functional than the Outlook RSS feature. And I'm sorry for all the people who worked on that, but it's just bad. I mean, they didn't do a good job at all. I mean, it's just barely good job. Oh, wow. I wonder if you can pick that up. Oh, you will now. Hang on. That was an ambulance, not a cop. I'm at a stoplight. Thank you very much. Oh, there's another one coming. Oh, it must be a fire. So, hang on. All right, now that's past us. Outlook 2007 is worth upgrading to, and you really have no choice if you're using Outlook 2000, and I'm sure I was the only person on the planet doing so. You really have no choice if you're using Vista, because Outlook 2000 is not compatible with Windows Vista. The whole of Vista, seems to be, and the word I used to describe Vista, or a gotcha in Vista, as asked by Mary Jo Foley, is immaturity. And I really feel that way. Not just in some driver support, software support, hardware support. And I guess hardware support could be tied into drivers in that sense. But just the applications that come with Windows. I mean, much like the applications that come with Outlook, the craptacular junk email filter in Outlook, or the RSS feed functionality inside of Outlook 2007 specifically. The rest of Windows seems to be the same. The Notepad, it doesn't really need to evolve. Notepad's good. It's going to stay that way forever, and that's fine. It's a text viewer, simple text editor. I still use it. But that being said, some of the newer applications like Windows Mail, ghastly. Windows Calendar, ghastly. They just feel like cheap knockoffs of something else. And I just don't understand how inelegant they could be. And they may be powerful underneath, but, man, I don't care. I had the same argument with Lotus Notes developers years ago. I don't care how powerful it is underneath. I've got to deal with the face. I don't want to, look at something that's just not enjoyable to look at, that's just not clean. I've mitigated some of the issues by applying my Vista font hack, but that's introduced a few other, hiccups in the process. So I'm going to be back with my coffee in just a second. A lot of the apps inside of Windows Vista just seem half-baked. And I think there's a lot of power underneath. Like I was saying, the driver update model is pretty rock solid. I mean, there's a lot more options to play with inside of Windows Vista compared to older versions of Windows. Oh, and Ready Boost is amazing too. If you plug in a capable thumb drive or a USB stick, you'll actually even on a faster system, you're going to be able to, swap a lot of that virtual memory to the removable media rather than to the hard disk. So it does actually make a big difference, more so on my slower machine, my laptop, than on my desktop. But all these powerful features and functions are just kind of occluded by a shell that's just showing its age. And I think, more than anything, I think the shell team is really getting to the point of frustration, and I think moving forward that they're going to have different processes through which code is actually checked in, so that moving forward again we'll have this unified experience. And I have high hopes for the next version of Windows. Although I can say that in the meanwhile, OS X has been courting me. I mean, Ponzi got me a Mac Mini for Christmas, and I'm running that on a wireless network, and I've connected it through a DVI to HDMI cable to a plasma screen. It's not 1080p, but it looks great. I mean, even from across the room, it looks pretty nice. And I'm actually using that for, you know, entertainment, that little Mac Mini. And I'm just seeing the elegance of OS X and how everything just kind of works, and I don't want to change anything. There's no UAC. Ugh, don't even get me started about UAC on Vista. It's so annoying. And I know it's supposed to save me from myself, but I can't help but turn it off. I mean, there's so many security features inside of Internet Explorer that I have to turn off. Like the information bar, no. It just annoys me, especially when I want to download a file. It reloads the entire page, and I usually use Internet Explorer if I'm away and I haven't installed Maxton on a version of Windows for one reason or another, and Maxton happens to be my favorite web browser. Freeware, by the way. Been using it for a while, and I'm in touch with the developer regularly. In fact, I've been troubleshooting a few Vista issues with him in recent nights, and he's been quite responsive. It's been great. The information bar annoys me because when I download a file, it'll reload the entire page, and on a slower connection, it just takes even longer. So I have to turn it off. I in my opinion, I have to turn off the information bar. I have to turn off a lot of the security warnings, and I have to turn off UAC. Now, for someone like Ponzi or my parents, I think it's just fine to keep on. I'd like it to be less annoying moving forward and take more of a Firefox security model. I really like the way Firefox does it, and some people say, well, why don't you switch to Firefox? That's not the point right now. My point is that IE7 is again built on top of legacy, and it's starting to show its age. And so, again, I have high hopes for the next version of Windows. I have high hopes for the next version of Internet Explorer. Now, Dean Hakamovich and his entire team are already soliciting advice for IE8, and believe you me, I cannot wait to get them, give them advice. Sorry, I haven't actually sipped my first sip of coffee. I gotta wait for it to cool down. Even though I added cream, so if I screw up again with the tongue, please bear with me. I'm trying to rant here. While driving in the middle of the road. You can't imagine all the cars that are passing me by seeing me hold this microphone up to my face, including the guy behind me, in an SUV. I thought my Acura was bad. Anyway, I think that the next version of Internet Explorer, if it's not a complete code redo, and I don't think it will be, I think it's going to really start packing on features. And I mean in a good way. I mean usable features, and I think they're going to refine the features that they have right now. And I think that's the only way it's going to survive, especially going up against something like Firefox. And the security model that I like behind that, to finish that thought, is when you download something, it won't prompt you right away necessarily if it's like a plugin. It will have you wait 5 seconds before you can accept. And that, to me, is fine. It's less annoying than an information bar that pops up and then reloads the page if I say yes. Or if there's a pop-up window that I'm trying to get to. I mean, I just think Internet Explorer 7 was slightly better than IE6. And I think Windows Vista is slightly better than XP. But I think both of them are kind of holdovers to the next versions. And I guess the next, according to reports, the next version of Windows, the one past Vista and Service Pack 1, is going to be fundamentally different, especially on the desktop. We're really going to have a cleaner user experience. Will it make it in time? Is OS X going to woo enough people away? I don't know. Like I said, it's been looking awfully attractive to me. And now seeing Vista for what it is, it works. But my recommendation is still 50-50. I know people are going to have upgrading headaches. I know they're going to have headaches with hardware and software. If you are going to upgrade to Vista, my recommendation is get the version you can afford, number one, and hope you're not too confused. If you want media features, get the home version. If you don't care much about media, get the business. But of course, if you're a power geek, you know you're going to get the ultimate. There's no argument. If you do, though, I would recommend, if you have it on your machine, don't wipe it. Don't wipe it clean. Install it to the side of Windows XP so that you can dual boot between the two. And then you can, if you've got a 64-bit capable processor, then you can, of course, triple boot between all three. But my recommendation for now is staying on a 32-bit desktop. 64-bit code just isn't, it's not out there. It's coming, but, you know, how fast do you really need to run Microsoft Word? I mean, yeah, it could be fast, and certainly could be faster, but 64-bit applications just aren't in the field. So stick with 32-bit Vista. If you've got XP, install it to the side. If you're buying, you know, a new machine off the shelf, then, you know, hey, you kind of get what you get, and you're probably going to get a further optimized system than you would get if you did it like, you know, a lot of us have done or will do, and that is placing Vista on top of a machine that's already running or has been running an operating system. And I can tell you this, it is definitely resource hungry. The more hardware you can throw at it, the happier it's going to be. And I honestly think that's, yeah, it's nice to take advantage of a lot of that hardware, but the code could be a hell of a lot more efficient. I know it. You know, when I show people XGL, I think it's XGL demos in Linux, when I'm showing them the 3D desktop, they're always surprised that I'm running it on a low-end Intel video card. Or on that particular machine, just to illustrate the fact that it uses its resources very wisely. And Vista, I think, wastes a tremendous amount of resources. It works. It's just, I don't know. I think it's all kind of summed up with how a lot of people have been writing about Windows Vista today is the excitement's just not there. I mean, the buzz has just kind of been deflated. There's nothing inside of Windows Vista that is an absolute you cannot live without. I think there are a lot of things inside of Vista that are, you know, nice to have. Like I said, like Ready Boost being one of them, a better driver model for updates being another. But it's just not, I think I'll move my meter from 50% to 75% when Service Pack 1 is issued, depending on what they fix, although I think a lot of my niggling remarks about UI are probably going to be skipped indefinitely, at least until, you know, the shell team has a chance to really reinvent everything on the desktop. But I think a lot more stability at the core is going to be put in place by the time Service Pack 1 ships. By the end, knock on wood, by the end of the year 2007. And I think more than anything, that's just kind of underscores my belief that everything seems half-baked, not quite ready yet, sloppy, just unfinished, cheap knockoffs. The fact that they are, you know, talking about issuing a service pack within the first year of an operating system's release, I mean, that's, you gotta think about what that means. Maybe this is a new paradigm. I'm willing to accept that Microsoft is going to issue a service pack for their operating system every year. And if that's the case, awesome. Although I would be the one to argue that a lot of those updates should come incrementally, especially for a consumer who doesn't have to worry about enterprise. I like the fact that I can look forward to that. I do. And it's just like OS X. You know, I know I could look forward to seeing something new, well, here, just right now, in the next couple of months, with Leopard shipping. Can't wait to try that. But knowing that they incrementally improve with not just, you know, tighter code, you know, more efficient code, everything in security, blah, 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 but also new features. And I think OS X really shines in adding features and functionality that's, you know, whether I want to use it or not, it's cool that they're actually developing that stuff and pushing that envelope forward. And then you look at Windows Vista, and like I said, it's just kind of meh. And I think they're trying to save that with the Windows Vista Ultimate, I guess, bonuses, you know, where you get the, you know, special, I guess, add-ons. In Windows Vista Ultimate, the two add-ons that have shipped, BitLocker, which my motherboard apparently does not support, and Texas Hold'em Poker. And for this, you pay a premium price, or I'm sorry, you pay the ultimate price. They are going to be adding more ultimate features, including something called, I think it's Dreamscape. Again, I'm going from memory, but it's essentially a way that you can set your desktop background as a video and or like just a motion, something in motion, like a waterfall. I think that's interesting for and fun for about 5 minutes. We'll see what kind of toll it takes on the system resources. I don't know. Like I said, I just feel kind of complacent in where I am today. If XP's not broken for you, stick with it. If you want to be adventurous, dual boot between XP and Vista. I think my strongest recommendation is that everybody kind of hold off till Service Pack 1, or, you know, consider moving to a different operating system if you're just chomping at the bit and Windows isn't giving you what you need. It's, you know, you can probably find what you need in OS 10 just as easily. I don't think Linux is quite ready for the average human being yet. I still think it's only suitable for about 1% of the population at this point in time. As far as the computer using population goes. I mean, even me, as geeky as I am, sometimes I just get lazy and I just want to click something. And I just want it to work, and I just need it to be there. And OS X certainly provides that level of convenience, as does Windows. I mean, for all its... or for both their shortcomings, or for their respective shortcomings, I should say. So anyway, that's, I guess, a wrap-up, walking through the pumpkin patch with me, talking about Windows Vista, my thoughts, my experiences, and as well as a little bit of Outlook sprinkled in there as a bonus. I still haven't taken my first sip yet. Like I said, I got to wait for it to cool down, because that's when, you know, the flavor really comes out. At least, in my opinion, everybody drinks coffee differently, but I've got to run a few more errands, and then I'm heading back to, I guess... encode and post this. So, thanks for listening, and if this worked, I guess I'll have another coffee conversation on my jaunt across town to get my daily brew, and we'll have to pick different subjects to talk about. In fact, if I was daring enough, I'd give you my cell phone, and then you could call. Here, listen to this. Ponzi.
Would you like to dial?
Oh, God. Ponzi. It sucks.
Pardon?
Ponzi.
Please repeat.
Okay, so now you hear... voice-activated technology sucks. Let's try this again. Ponzi.
Would you like to call?
Ponzi.
Yes.
Calling.
Okay, now we should hear her. If she picks up. She's not going to pick up. All right, I could call home, but I'm not even going to bother. That's a little bit of technology that I live with. Anyway, wondering if I should get, like, some kind of cell phone, a temporary cell phone. I don't know if I'd get a separate one. Maybe I will. And then have it on and then connect it with this car, and then people could call me. And then I could take live calls in my car. We'll see how the microphone picks it up. It's worth a thought. I'll push the envelope. And the gas pedal at the same time.